Oh, I do love that. Have a seat. Well, are you ready to rock and roll tonight? Awesome. We are ready to get it done. I was walking through it. The anointing is strong in here tonight, isn't it? It's awesome. Welcome to all watching today here on the BVOVN network and all watching online. That's great to have everyone here. We're going to have a great time tonight. You need to buckle your seat belts and get ready to roll because we've got a lot to cover tonight. And we're talking about you. Is that okay? We're going to talk about your destiny tonight. Talking about getting out of debt. In debt, you have no destiny. Your destiny has been shortcut with slavery. So tonight, we're going to talk about how to get out of debt, a little more involved with numbers tonight. We're going to start there. Then we're going to have a second session that's going to be powerful. But let's dig into some numbers. Let's talk about getting out of debt. I was in a doctor's appointment about a month or so ago with my mother. And she was in the examining room, and I was talking to the nurse there, and we began talking, what do you do? And I began to talk about finances, and she said, I don't have anything. She's in her 50s. I don't have anything. I don't have any retirement. I have nothing, and I'm in debt. You know, it's amazing. That's pretty much how people live. It's amazing if you ask people. They're just living paycheck to paycheck. And she was very interesting. You know, debt is a shortcut to a false illusion of success. It presumes on the future. In other words, it moves the time frame. You have things you haven't paid for yet, so it presumes on the future, right? I remember walking to a church. We had it was our church, actually, and we were coming in the daytime to this church, they had a daytime school, we were picking something up maybe. And we noticed in the parking lot a brand new red convertible 5-speed sports car, temporary tags. Now, that was beautiful, so I walked over, looked at it, and I walked in the building, and there was the gal working on at the time, the tape duplication machine. That kind of tells you the time periods back in history. And there was a person that went to our church I recognized because just 2 weeks before this event, we were in a meeting and they were receiving money for their building and we are all worshiping the Lord. And Drenda and I were sewing and she was in tears standing next to us. And we talked to her and she says, I have nothing to sew. She says, I'm in debt. I'm a single mom. I have no money. And I said, well, here, I gave her a $100 bill. I said, you do what you want to with it. You can sew it, whatever you need. You just take it. And I gave it to her. And so that was who the lady was there at the desk. And I said, hey, whose car is that out there? I mean, that's a great car. I figured someone there I knew had the car. And she looked at me a little strange and said, well, that's my car. That's your car out there? She said, yeah. And she knew what I was thinking. She said, don't worry. I didn't buy it. I leased it. Oh, I said, how much is the lease payment? Oh, it's $550 a month. This is 20 years ago. Now, why would someone self-destruct like that? Because it's identity to her. It's her identity. She was struggling. And she wanted to feel good about herself. And so she went into debt. And of course, she's going to feel good, really. Not a very long time, is she? Because she's at that weight now. And she didn't have any money. So people do crazy things for identity. But Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave. You know, slaves don't have that much fun. It's overrated, by the way. Slaves are told when to work, when to take time off, when to show up, what to do. And the sad thing about slavery is all the profit. You are making money, right? You are you're profitable. But you send the profit in envelopes to someone else, right? And you exchange labor for money. So don't call it money. Call it labor or hours or whatever it is you do. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. You have to create it. You have to make it. And, you know, it's your life. You're exchanging your life for money and you're sending your life in envelopes to the master. So the definition of a slave is this. I covered this today with the staff. We had a great time, but we're going to cover it a little more in depth tonight. And for you that are new here, of course, it'll be first time. But the definition of a slave is someone who is legally owned by another person and is forced to work for that person. I won't ask for a show of hands, I can guess, but how many have said, I have to go to work today? Right? I have to go to work today. And I said, I think it was yesterday, wouldn't it be great to say, I get to go to work today? I get to do something today, my passion. But unfortunately, as we said in our conference, 70-some percent of the people don't like their jobs, 33% hate their jobs. And so can you tell me why they show up? They only have one life. Why do they show up? They're slaves. Say it with me. They're slaves. Slaves. They're slaves. They have to show up to pay the bills, if you will. So people say, well, I'm not a slave. I'm not a slave. You know, I'm not a slave. I always tell them, stop making the payments on things and watch the legal owner show up to take their stuff back. You're a slave. Now, it gets better. Don't get discouraged yet. We got great news for you, so I don't want you to get discouraged about that. But slaves live in houses they don't own, drive cars they don't own to make the money to pay for the house they don't own. They buy the clothes to go to the place they work to make the money to pay for the car that allows them to drive to pay for the house on a Visa card. They then have to furnish their home with finance company loans, send their kids to school on debt, buy their groceries on debt. Really, we are an indebted society. In fact, America is the greatest indebted country on the face of the planet. Trillions of dollars. So let me give you some stats on the sad state of slavery in the U.S. Is that okay? You get your tissues handy. It's all right. It'll be okay at the end. Right now, though, we need to share some stats, okay? When I say okay, it means you have to say okay back. Okay. All right. I know it's kind of sobering, but it'll get better. All right. True, it's just hard to believe. 57% of Americans cannot write a check for $1,000 without planning for it. 44% cannot write a check for $400. That means an unexpected expense, a car repair or some other event, debt is their relief or debt is their answer. They feel safe when they have room on the Visa card. In other words, I've got credit available to me, I feel safe, and they use it. It's a staggering statistic. 43% of Americans struggle to pay their bills. That means they're just staying afloat, the 43%. Now, I believe financial pressure is one of the inroads that fear has in people's lives. I know personally from being on antidepressants and battling panic attacks when we were in debt those 9 years, I know personally how debilitating financial stress is. Financial stress doesn't kill you instantly. It's a slow death. It robs you of life. It robs you of vision. It robs you where you dread Monday. You dread life. You have no more hope. It steals all your dreams until you're going through the motions and it affects you, right? This one really kind of is, this was a report that came out in 2018. 49.3% of Americans make less than $30,000 a year. That's half of the population make less than $30,000 a year. I mean, that's barely survival. I mean, that's incredible. Now, incredible. 73% of the people dying in the United States in debt. Is this getting exciting yet? 1.2 billion credit cards are in the United States active. The original Diners Club started in 1950. It was the first credit card, and it was a cardboard card that 27 restaurants shared, and they allowed them to be billed for their meals. Now today there are 20,000 different credit cards in the U.S. Last year, the credit card industry made $60 billion with a B in credit card fees, not the interest, in fees. So debt is very profitable to the master. Slavery is good. I mean, for them, it's great, right? 40% of Americans spend more than they make, which means they're going slowly further in debt. 80% of graduating college seniors have credit card debt. Amazing. This is scary. 49% of Americans cannot cover 1 month's income or 1 month's bills if they would lose their job. They have no savings. 49% live that close. Now, I've been in financial services for 30 some years, and I have sat across the table from literally probably tens of thousands of people personally. And it's always amazing when you ask people to see their budget, we go through their budgets and we say, okay, how much money do you have extra in your budget that you could apply to reduce this debt? It's so amazing, $50, $100 in their budget. Amazing, isn't it? Car loans. Hey, that's a way of life, right? Car loans. People all, have you ever heard someone say, well, you have to have a mortgage. You ever heard that? You have to have a mortgage. You ever heard someone say, I'm out of debt. And I say, well, great. When did you pay the house off? Well, I didn't pay the house off. I thought you said you're out of debt. Well, mortgages don't count. That's how they think. People think I'll always have a mortgage. I'll probably always have a car payment, right? 60% of Americans don't pay their credit cards off at the end of the month. Because of debt, 80% of people mistakenly believe retirement's going to be awesome, and they do not find it that way. 19% of those filing bankruptcy in 2012 were college students. Now, I don't have the current stat on that. So consumer debt is at $4 trillion at the end of 2018. $4 trillion consumer debt last year. It's going up every year. Set a new record, $4 trillion. Have you heard in the papers about the student loan crisis? May have seen that, right? $1.4 trillion in student loan debt. It's amazing. 70% of graduating students end up with student loan debt. And the amazing thing is 44 million Americans have that debt. 44 million Americans are still paying their student debt off decades later for a degree most of them don't use. In my book, Fixing the Money Thing, I talk about college. Is it worth it? I have a chapter called that. You might check it out. Now, would you knowingly sign up for years of hard labor as a slave? Would you knowingly do that? I'm bored. I think I'll be a slave for a while just for the fun of it. Well, that's how people live. You said, no, I didn't do that. You signed the debt papers. I can get them, I'll show you. Let's talk about credit cards for a minute, because credit cards are the big trap, right? No one wants to destroy their life with a credit card, right? I was doing a radio interview several years back, and this guy calls on the phone and could you call me after the radio broadcast? I said, sure, I'll call him, because he said, I have a story I need to tell you. So I called him and he said, better yet, could you come over for supper? Now, he lived close to my house, and he told me the church he went to, so I kind of trusted he was telling me the truth. And I went by his house, you know, and sat down with this beautiful family of four children and his wife, and had a nice house there. And he told me the story that as a young man, this goes back in history. Do you remember the days that you used to actually get credit cards in the mail? Anyone that's older? Actually, the credit cards came in the mail, and if you used it, it activated it. This is going back some time, but somehow he got placed on a list of high-end credit cards. He was getting $25,000 credit card in the mail, and as a young man, single guy, he decided this is awesome. He took off on a world tour. The credit cards kept coming. The problem is he fell in love in London, England, with a gal, told her he was a traveling salesperson, very successful, and he married her. He'd leave the home every day. But he didn't have a job. He was living off credit cards. They had a child, and he was afraid to lose her and the family if he ever told her the truth. So he just kept racking these credit cards up. And one day the FBI called him out, and they got him over here in the United States, took him to court, and of course he had to do prison time. He ended up ringing up about $220,000 on credit cards that he had. And so he had to go to prison, and he was born again in prison, praise the Lord. His wife was born again as she was outside prison, and now they united and they have a family. But he said, listen, you have to tell people. He said, please, would you warn people that I never intended to destroy my life with a credit card? Never intended that. It just kept happening. So he told me, I said, what happened to you? Well, I had to go to prison 6 months. And they've ordered me to pay that debt back at $25 a month. Really? Maybe it pays. I don't know. It just I'm kidding. All right. That's a true story. All right. So credit cards, how many have received, and this is obviously, I know the answer. How many have received credit card offers in the mail? All right. Very good. Yes. How many have received the same credit card offer in the mail more than once? How about once a week? Capital One, right? Capital One, whatever. Capital once a week. And I get five to eight. I get 10 credit card offers in one day. Anyone else get a stack of them? You know, you get a whole stack of mail, you think there may be something interesting, and it's a credit card, credit card, credit card, credit card. And have you ever thought, why are they taking the time to mail this to me over and over and over again? I didn't buy this last time, right? Can anyone tell me why, you know, it costs a lot of money to mail that? A lot of money to mail that out. And so just to give you a hint, last year there's about 8 billion credit card offers mailed out in the United States. So why would they mail that out? Because they're fishing. They're waiting patiently for you to get under pressure. And they are the answer, or are they? They're the answer, right? And so let me tell you this. How many, in a bank account today, the average interest rate you might receive on a passbook account, savings account, would be what, about 2 or 3%, right? Yeah. Now, the average interest rate on credit cards, if you took all the active credit cards and found the average interest rate of active credit cards, the interest rate is 21.07% active. So put yourself in their shoes. They have found a place to invest, not at 2 or 3%, but at 21.07% interest, right? Good thing for them. Now let me show you what they know and you don't know. If you had $25 a month to save at age 20 to age 70, and you invested $25 a month at 21.07%, guess how large you would grow to by the time you were 70? Throw a number out, someone. I can't pick them out, but let me just tell you right now. 28 million. Were you close? Anyone close to that number? I doubt it. But you see, they know that. Someone knows how money works. They take advantage of those who don't. If you had $1, just $1 a month invested at 21.7% interest, it grows to $1.8 million, age 20 to age 70. Well, you see the ads, right? It's just the price of a cup of coffee a day. Listen, friend, they understand the time value of money. It's called the eighth wonder of the world, compound interest. They understand how it works, and you need to know how it works. If you're ever going to get out of debt, you need to learn how money works. All right? So let's do this example. How many have walked into a retail store and you have your money, or your Visa card you already have, and you go to pay and they stop you and they say what? Would you like to have our card? We'll give you a 15% discount off of this purchase right now. And because you don't want to leave money on the table, you say, well, sure. Now, here's the deal. Those kinds of department store cards are 24 to 26%, right? So understand this. They are not in the retail business. They will give you the clothing. They'll mark it down 50%. They don't care as long as you use the credit card. They are in the banking business, not the retail business. The money they make is from the retail. They make it in the retail side of things. They want you to have their card, and they hope you continue using it, and most people do. It takes 22 years to pay a credit card off if you just make the minimum payment. And of course, no one does that. No one does not use the card again. Their goal is that you never pay it off, and they have an income stream coming from you for the rest of your life. Someone is fishing, right? How many have seen the big box stores offer the financing, 90-day same as cash? Okay, sounds pretty cool, but I always say, what is going through someone's mind who's barely making it to think that some kind of windfall is going to happen in the next 90 days that hasn't happened in the previous 90 days? What kind of human, what is this thing? They think, yeah, we'll do it, and they don't. In fact, 80% of the people that sign up for that don't pay it off in 90 days, and it reverts back to the day you signed the contract at usually 28 to 36%. Again, I ask the question, would you walk into a store and say, I love that computer, can I finance it at 36%? You would not do that. Thus, I go back to my friend that says, would you tell people, I never intended to destroy my life, and you don't either. No one chooses to destroy their life. They don't want to destroy their life. They don't understand, right? They need to have some revelation of knowledge how this works. How many have seen the no payment for a year thing? No money. You know, if you watch a commercial on TV, they don't tell you the cost of things, do they? They don't tell you how much a car costs. Usually it's only $120 a month. No payment for a year. That's a free car. Listen, if you had to pay cash for things, can you understand how it would change society? If you had to pay cash for the car. See, one thing debt has done, it has lessened the work ethic. In other words, back in the day, my grandma had a bowl in her window. They were farmers. They would keep the change for milk and bread, and they knew the value of a dollar because they worked hard for it. Now you don't have to have a dollar. You see, by not having money as how you buy things, it lessens the work ethic in America. I don't have to work hard. All I have to do is sign the dotted line. I can walk out of here without any labor attached. Right? It's changing America. Back in the day, when there were problems, people would look for jobs. But now they go to the nearest government agency trying to find a handout. People have been conditioned that life is supposed to be easy and I can just sign a piece of paper and have everything I ever wanted without realizing that there's a price to pay for that called slavery. Most people stay in debt their entire life. The only reward most people have in life is to go to McDonald's Friday and go to Walmart afterwards and call it a good week. Buy a few Chinese trinkets and I'm kidding, but really. Write this down. You already know this, but write it down. There is no freedom without financial freedom. There is no freedom without financial freedom. And as the Bible says, you're a slave. Now, the good news is you're here tonight. And we're going to help you understand that you don't have to stay a slave. You heard my story. You heard Drendan, our story of how we came out of such severe debt for 9 years. We despaired of life. And God is no respecter of persons. If you'll follow the same principles we did, you'll have the same result. All right? So how do I get free, Gary? How do I get free? I'm glad you asked the question. All right? Two things you have to do. You have to apply natural wisdom. You live in the earth realm. You live in the United States of America or wherever you're at. You live with laws that you have to apply to this, and you have to apply kingdom knowledge. The kingdom of God does not operate the same as the earth realm. We've been teaching this for three sessions yesterday, I guess it was. But you have to know how the kingdom of God operates. You know, for 9 years, I was trying to get out of debt. I worked 18 hours a day. I just couldn't get over that hump until the kingdom of God taught me how that system works. We've been teaching about that. If you missed it, as Pastor George says, you can get that information. Understand this, someone wants your money. And I tell people all the time, you know, I mentioned this today at staff. People say, well, all that preacher wants is my money. All that church wants is my money. I say, everyone wants your money. But let me ask you a question. Who's the consumer advocate? Is the IRS going to tell you how to pay less taxes? Is the retail store going to tell you, listen, don't spend so much today? who's going to protect you? Who's going to tell you how life works? Everyone is marketing towards you for your money. And they're not telling you the end result, are they? They're telling you, you need this. You are perfectly content until you saw the ad. Their whole job in marketing is to make you discontent with what you have and provide a way to buy it when you can't afford it. Someone wants your money. Let's assume you had $1,000, all right, just $1,000, you're 20 years old, and you want to save for retirement. At 20 years old, you just stick the $1,000 in an account, leave it to age 70. At this rate, at 5%, it grows to $12,000. You can't live on that in retirement. How about 18%? Leave it for 50 years, $6 million. $1,000 one time. 24%, $97 million. At 28%, a finance company loan rate, $1 billion, over $1 billion, over a billion with a B. One time, 1,000, one time. Now you know why they send those envelopes nonstop. I don't know how they can afford to keep mailing me the mail. Oh, they can afford it. You can't afford it, right? In these examples, I've shown you that a small fragment can produce a huge return. They know that, most people don't. But the average family can be completely out of debt in 5 to 7 years. Now, I didn't know this when I was first coming into a realization of the kingdom of God. I was selling insurance and securities. And I went to a client's house and I began to talk to them about the data, you know, where they're at in life. Do they need insurance, specifically life insurance, things like that? And they began to cry. And they began to tell me in tears their financial straits. They were in debt. They were in debt. I realized very quickly their problem wasn't insurance or securities, investments. Their problem was debt. I was just coming out of debt. I hated debt. God had just revealed to me the kingdom of God, and I despised debt for 9 years, living like I had lived, and basically, I call it hell on earth. I went home that night and began to pray, asking God. I said, God, I want to help them. How can I help them? And he began to give me an idea. This is before the internet days. He said, I just felt, let me research what they have and see if there's anything I can do to help them. So I began to research everything they were spending their money on, and I found other ways to spend the same money for the same thing, but cheaper. And I kept track of how much money I freed up for them, and I came to an amount of money that was, you know, hundreds of dollars. I was like, wow, there's hundreds of dollars here. So I took the $100 and I applied that to their debt. I found out they could be completely free in 6.1 years for that family, including the house. I was shocked. No one ever told me that. So I went back to my file cabinet and pulled other clients out of the drawers. I began to calculate that with my financial calculator, and every single one of them, they were completely debt-free, including their house, in less than 7 years. I thought, who is telling people this? Then I had a brilliant idea. Why not start a company that does that? So we did. We started our company helping people get out of debt. It's now 30 years old. So how do you get out of debt? The first thing is you have to decide to get out of debt. It's like going on a diet. You have to want to be out of debt. You have to want to lose weight. You have to be sick and tired, say, this is not freedom, this is not good. I want to be out of debt. You have to make the decisions to be out of debt. Now, when you do that, you may have a few emotional issues. Without realizing, you probably have been depending on debt without really realizing that your security, if you will, was trusting in debt. This is why we call this conference the financial revolution. As I said yesterday, you got to throw off the other government and come into the new government. You got to throw off the kingdom of the earth realm, how it operates, and take on the new laws of the kingdom of God to be free. You got to have a revolution. Your revolution. I told the staff today, I went to a home, a lady was, she was wanting help with her finances. And so we had to look at where she's at, and she had 52 maxed out credit cards. I mean, that's the largest number in 30 some years of working with people's finances. She had the 32 credit cards maxed out. She just kept borrowing from one to pay the next. And she finally ran out of options and she called me. I need some help, she said. She pulled this all these credit cards out. And it's obvious, man, you gotta cut these things up. And she burst into tears with this statement. How am I gonna buy my shoes? I was never so shocked in my life. You're talking about survival here, and she's concerned about shoes. I imagined her closet had quite a few shoes in it. How am I going to buy groceries, she said. How am I going to live? And that you might feel that way. I went to a client's house. They asked me to come by. Again, I've done this 30 some years. We always went to their house. I always wanted to meet them where they lived at. So we've done this all over the nation for years. But I went to their house and they wanted to be out of debt in tears. We've got to get out of debt. Gary, would you help? We need to get out of debt. I said, okay. I gathered all the data. I went back and calculated everything. I was so excited because we could get them out of debt in less than 7 years like everyone else. I knew they'd be thrilled to see the answer. I pull into the house. There in the driveway is a brand new Cadillac with temporary tags. Now, I thought it's not theirs, right? I mean, obviously, my first thought, that's someone visiting, right? I mean, there's no way it's theirs. So I go into the house and I say, hey, whose car is that outside? Oh, it's ours. You bought that between our two visits? Yeah, this is what they said. We knew that you would say we can't use debt again, so we needed to buy the car before we made that commitment. It's like, are you kidding me? The payment was $650 a month. One couple, I said, you got to cut these cards up. They said, we will. I went to the house the next week and I said, did you cut them up? Well, yeah, kind of. I said, what do you mean kind of? Well, we froze them in a bowl of water in the freezer. I said, that's fine, but right next to the refrigerator, that's a microwave. See, they couldn't part with that. This is a key to getting out of debt in the kingdom. In fact, next session, I'll talk more about where your confidence is. It's important to talk about. All right, so let's talk about, this is the statement that you need to understand. You probably already have the money necessary to get out of debt. Did you know that? Most people don't. Now, the greatest area, now we look for money. What we do is we help people find money. Do you like treasure hunts? You like sales? You like to find money? Okay, hold on, because you have plenty of it. You say, no, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. I'm going to prove it to you. Now, your greatest treasure chest, the greatest place that your money is hidden for you is the IRS. Don't leave yet. Just stay here. Don't get up, all right? It's going to be good. Now, let me give you an example why I say that. May 3rd has just passed. May 3rd is what we call Tax Freedom Day, meaning every hour you've worked up until May 3rd went to pay taxes. Every bit of money you made to May 3rd went straight to pay taxes. Is that exciting or what? No, it's not. Now, at the higher end of tax scale, so people that make good amounts of money, the highest, the taxes they pay is about 60% of their income. Now, we have, of course, we have federal taxes. The highest bracket now is 37%. We have our Social Security, 15.3% if you're self-employed. We have state taxes. California's top bracket is 13.3%. So if you're paying 37% federal, 13% high-end California, plus 15% for, and that doesn't count property taxes, city taxes, school taxes. Gasoline taxes are over 50 cents a gallon at the pump, if you didn't know that. Now, that's a usage tax, actually. That's a tax that we can justify. It's a usage tax. But the bottom line is people pay a ton of taxes. So I would recommend you buy or you go to the library and get a copy of the tax code, the IRS rules and regulations, to figure out how to pay less tax. And good luck with that, because it includes 74,608 pages. Which is why recent studies show that the IRS agents on the phone get it wrong probably 30 to 50% of the time. Because who can read all that or keep up with it, right? Now, I'm going to put this on the screen. Put the graph up, the CPA graph, if you will. So Money Magazine did a study for 10 years or 8 years? It's not, whatever the number of years. That's, each line is a year, where they gave 50 CPAs the same client's data, okay, the same data, and not one of them matched. So of all 50, not one matched with how much taxes they owed. Look at line 4. In that year, you'll see that one CPA said they owed $6,807, and one CPA, the highest, was $73,247. I don't know which CPA you go to, but there's a big difference. So what do we need to do? Get a second opinion. There is so much money. In fact, Money Magazine said after this study that their average was the average family spends 20% more on taxes than they need to. They did another study. They gave 50 CPAs just 10 questions. Just 10. Not one got all 10 out of 50. These are CPAs, not bookkeepers. These are CPAs. So I tell people, I say, you know, you drive across town to save 50 bucks on a sweater on sale, right? You need to have a second opinion on your taxes. A second opinion, right? We always recommend people do that. They're always amazed at what they find the differences. Get a second opinion, all right? A lot of people have tax issues. Now, we had a client that owed $300,000 on their taxes. They were able to settle for $330-some dollars, I think it was, something close, right, Dren? $330. They owed $300,000 for about 10 years. That weight on them. But we have specialists. In fact, we have the best specialist, I believe, that if you have a tax issue like that, you're behind on taxes, you've never filed, you're late on filing, or wherever you're at with tax problems, you need to talk to our people because I believe we have the best person, companies that help people do that. So if you're here, that weight robs you of your joy. There are answers. There's not a tax problem that cannot be fixed. Just to let you know that. Speaking of taxes, I told the staff this. How many write off the mileage driving to church when they volunteer in the nursery or they're a greeter or whatever? You write the mileage off. Hands up. Well, a few of you. How many of you had your hands raised up? You read my book. Some of you, yeah. 14 cents a mile you can write off going to any nonprofit function if you're involved in that function. 14 cents a mile, you say, that's not much. It all adds up. Every fragment adds up, correct? All right, so penalties. Did you know there's a form you can file to abate your penalties? Yes. Who's going to tell you that? IRS? Oh, no, I don't think so. My dad, let's go another step further. Now, there's a ton I can say. I'm just trying to give you illustrations. But how you set your company up, LLC, S-Corp, Schedule C, however you run your company has a huge difference in how many taxes you pay. You need to have good counsel. Big money. But let's change gears. Let's talk about property taxes. We all pay property taxes. Did you know that many people overpay their property taxes or they double pay their property taxes when they refinance a house, et cetera, et cetera? Did you know that your county, if you go to your county, they are required to tell you you overpaid. They're not required to send it back. I told my dad this. He went online in Ohio, in our county. He found $3,600 sitting there that had been sitting there for 2 years. He overpaid. They didn't send it back. Just knowing how to hunt for money is a key, right? It's amazing. There's a lot, all kinds of things to do. Let's talk about debt. So number one, your number one avenue of finding cash is the IRS. Taxes. Number two is debt. So if I sit down with you as a client, I'm going to say, okay, we got to look at the taxes, how your schedule, how this is arranged. Taxes is your biggest loss. To May 3rd, that's your biggest expense in your life. Taxes. So is there a way we can minimize taxes? Number two is debt. Next thing I want to do is look at your interest rates, what you've borrowed. Is there a way I can restructure your debt to bring the rate down? That's the next thing we do, and that frees up a lot of money as well. I won't go through how we do that and different ways of doing that, but just understand that as people are in debt, they obviously are paying high interest rates. We need to change those, get those low, and they got to promise never to use debt again. They don't promise us. I'm just telling you that they need to make that commitment. Number three, the third area we look at in depth is insurance. Here's the key. Anything that's confusing, people don't read. When I talk to people about their insurance policies, they go to a cabinet, they pull this thing out, plastic. I have to kind of peel it apart. It hasn't been read for 20 years. They've never read it. Who wants to read it? No one wants to read that stuff, right? What you don't understand is where you lose most of the money. Insurance companies, big losses. Now, for instance, how many here know that you have the cheapest auto insurance in Texas? How many can put your hand up? I know I have the cheapest. Every hand should be up if you live in Texas. Do you know why I say that? Because on your Texas insurance website, it has a list of every single company in Texas with their rates and a calculator to enter in your speeding tickets and your whatever it is, and they'll help you find the cheapest rate. You already have the tool. But unfortunately, the average person doesn't check their auto rates for once every 16 years. Right? Auto homeowner is the same way. Life insurance is probably the biggest area of losses in the area of money. Don't have time to cover it, but just trust me, it is. How many have heard of the benefitbank.org website? Hands up. Just a couple. Thebenefitbank.org is a website that if you, wherever you're at in your income, you plug it into this website, it'll tell you every governmental assistance that you qualify for in your state. You know, tax credits, help with your rent, help with your energy bills. In Ohio, we have the same thing. Headlines in Ohio, $3 billion not used in government assistance that people don't know they even have. TheBenefitBank.org. How about the cell phone bills? Man, a few years ago, you know, we'd pay $35 for a landline, right? Anyone paying $35? I mean, cell phone bills are huge now, right? If you have 3, 4, 5 kids and they all have cell phones, I see families spending $300, $350, $400. What if I told you there's companies it's $15 a line, unlimited text, unlimited voice, and most of the time unlimited data? What would you say to that? You got to have an appointment to get that data from me, I'll tell you. All I'm saying is this stuff's there, friend. People are busy. They don't know, but there's all kinds of ways to find money. All kinds of ways. I'm going to show you an example plan that we produce for people, which we produce for you, and you, many of you have been signing up for these free plans online as well. What our company does is look for money. We then find the money, show you your numbers, your data, how much money's freed up. We apply it to your debt and show you exactly how long it takes to be out of debt. That's awesome. You know why? Because most people never think they can get out of debt. And when they see for the first time, this isn't even faith involved. This is your numbers. This is just math. You can be out of debt in, let's say, 5 years. They go, whoa, wait a minute. I can do that. They get excited and begin to plan to even accelerate that. So this is the plan we do. This is what we're offering to you free. People say, how do you do it free? Well, I had to ask the Lord the same question because, you know, being in debt, I know I can't charge people that are in debt money, at least I didn't want to. But what happens is when we research companies, professionals, and vendors that we think are maybe an option you might want to consider, we make an agreement with them. We go back and negotiate with that company. You know, we're talking to a few people today. What's it worth to you for me to tell them, I already researched your product, we want your product, we found it's the best. Is it worth something to you for me to tell people about this? We negotiate referral fees back to our company. We found out that they're pretty open to pay referral fees for sending pre-qualified people wanting the product. So we set our company up that way. It's absolutely free to our clients. It's been that way for 30 years. And by the way, you that are online, we can do the same thing for you. And you'll hear at the break how to get a hold of that. And you'll hear at the end of this session, at the end tonight, how to get a hold of that for yourself. But this is how it works. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And so I found that people want to be free. They just don't know how. They just don't think it's possible. They're buried. They're already just barely making it paycheck to paycheck. What they need is knowledge. They just need knowledge how to do that. And so we began our company helping people. We've been in all over the world teaching these things. We have done conferences. I've sat across the desk probably of, I don't know, tens and thousands of people over the years. Trust me, I know how people live out there. And so we are excited, have always been excited about what we do because I hate debt. I hate what it does to people and families. I hate the bondage it puts them in. It limits their options, their choices. I hate what it does to families. Debt is slavery. When God called me, when I repented to him, when he said, Gary, you're in this mess because you never learned how my kingdom operates. He then went on to say, you know, my church is just like the nation of Israel was in Pharaoh's time. In Pharaoh's time, they made bricks in exchange for a place to live and food to eat. He said, my church is no different. They're in debt. They're enslaved. I want my people free. Amen. That's what he said. And that day is when I went down, prayed with my wife, Drenda. I said, God just spoke to me. He said, we need to learn how the kingdom operates. And we made a commitment that from that point on, if God would show us how to do this, we would spend the rest of our life helping people understand how the kingdom operates and helping people get out of debt. And that's what we want to do. We're going to go ahead and break just a little early because the next session is going to go a little bit longer. So I'm going to go ahead and break to a video right now. And then we're going to come back to Greg in Studio B after the video. Fair enough? You'll be here when I come back, right? All right. We'll go to that video right now.